Hey everyone, welcome or welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. We have an awesome episode for you today, but we just want to remind you before the episode starts that if you're listening to this episode on Spotify, please leave your comments in the Q&A section under this episode. If you're listening on Apple, Google, or anywhere in between, please tweet Gary at Gary V. Make sure you join the Discord to stay up to date on all things V Friends, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Vayner Nation, how are you? I'm really excited about this. Just trying to mix up the guests, talk about different things. Obviously this summer I've been very head down in the execution of the V Friends NFT project, which has made me a little less loud about my collecting and my admiration and other things going on in the ecosystem. But today we changed that a little bit up. With a guest that I think will bring a ton of value and inspiration. And I'm actually genuinely curious because we haven't had a chance to chop up on how her project is going and what she's seeing. And so, Betty, it's a real honor to have you here. You know, I really admire you from afar. We haven't had the luxury of that many interactions just yet, but I've been really looking forward to this and I'm really happy for your success and your community. And I'm really glad you're on the show.
Thanks, thank you for having me. Thanks. Yeah, we haven't chatted, I don't think. Directly, but I've engaged with what you've done and VCon was an absolute success. So yeah.
Yes, a little DMing here and there, but nothing too much. So let's get into this. Everybody gets to see us do it here. Why don't you, for the Vayner Nation and not only the VFriends Nation, maybe give a little backdrop. Why don't you take the first 2 minutes and tell everybody who you are and what you're up to professionally?
Sure. So I am Betty, founder of Dead Fellas. Dead Fellas is a brand that was born from NFTs. We launched our first NFT collection Friday the 13th of August, 2021. And it's been an absolutely crazy ride ever since. We focus on digital identity and extending into media and entertainment. We are storytellers, but primarily I see NFTs and the technology behind it as a proponent of social change and disrupting, you know, everything from industry to how people value creators. So it's a really exciting space to work in.
Take us all the way back a little bit to little Betty. Where did you grow up? What kind of kid were you? Were you creative by nature? Give us a little like comic book number one origin story for a few minutes.
Little Betty, okay. So no one ever asks me this, so that's cool. I was born in Yorkshire, which is in the north of England.
Yep.
My dad is and was a musician, a thrash metal musician. My mom is also a creative, but also a nurse. And so I was raised in a household that while we, you know, we lived like in like normal society and everything, but I was really pushed, not pushed, but like celebrated for creative endeavors.
You had two parents that had so much creative juice that the concept of creativity was put on a pedestal the way that sports or academics or financial entrepreneurship might be in a different household.
Not just that, but just a natural extension of how you go through life. Like it was always present, you know, so, but also working outside of typically expected systems was something that was celebrated. Like my mom was raised as a you know, devout Catholic, but then kind of went against that as an adult. And I got to be witness to that and as well see my dad.
By dating a thrash metal superstar?
Yeah. So I was the kid with the cool parents.
For sure.
But it was good. I've always been creative. I've always been, I had an experience as a kid where I'd always be called bossy. And I know that's different for men. It, you know, celebrated for leadership, whereas it's not the same experience for women and girls. But yeah, I've always been creative. I've always found myself in leadership.
Can we tap into that? Because it's really funny you say that, because I'm 47. And one of the great things, you know, my mom was such my hero and continues to be.
Yeah.
And I always viewed her as very strong, you know? And there was a lot of strong women in my Eastern European family. And I, you know, I always kind of took note of that in the 80s and 90s, where to your point, if, you know, if a woman entrepreneurially or in a school play or whatever the setting was, bossy was thrown around a lot. And I remember in my brain thinking that that was like a good thing, though I could see that it was being used as not as much of a good thing. And, you know, society has a long ways to go on a many magnitude of different issues, but it definitely has evolved, into a place where it's not as prevalent and universally accepted that that was a bad thing of being, you know, like, and I see far more, you know, girl dads and boss ladies and a lot, there's been a shift, but you're saying that for you, it was always like a part of like, I'm a leader, right?
Yeah, I've always felt that and I've always gravitated to that and I've always led with that. So it's always been a part of my experience no matter what I do, and I've done many different things. I speak about that a lot to people. The idea, especially with Gen Z right now where they're, you know, they're seen as lazy or they don't want to work. I feel like I've always kind of gone through life like how they go through life now where they just lead with like, what they want to do and they identify what works for them and what doesn't work for them. I think that Gen Z are just, you know, disenfranchised with the fact that the systems in place are not, they're never going to work for people.
They also know, Betty, that they have options.
Exactly.
I identified
that too.
Right. Then. Like you could, like you, you know, with, you know, for me, for example, if I had eBay and Etsy, as a junior high and high school kid, I don't know if I would have graduated high school, let alone thought about going to college. These kids know they can make $100,000 a year in creator revenue on these 7 social media platforms. And why would they go work for a shitty job with a bad culture for $54,000 when they can do their art, whatever that may be, for $100,000?
Yeah, I think the definition of success is also completely different now. You know, we were taught to follow a path where you've got these milestones you have to reach by a certain age and, you know, you have to get married, have a house, have 2 kids, all of this, like, fly up the corporate ladder. But, like, there is no ladder for most people, and for most people, like, home ownership isn't a realistic goal when working within those systems. So, yeah, I think my being encouraged to not subscribe to that as a kid has set me up well, because I still don't, and I applaud anyone that doesn't now, because I think it's all rubbish, needs to be burned to the ground and start again.
I couldn't agree more. I'm such a fan of that. I was ridiculed, for lack of a better word, on my points of view about college and its ROI 15 years ago. And it's been fascinating to watch people come around to at least the conversation that one size doesn't fit all across many things. Speaking of which, what do you think was one of the most essential? This is so many parents listening right now have creative kids, and so many kids who are 14, 12, 9, 17 are listening right now. Do you have a signature moment in your creative path before, let's say, 21 that stands out as like, I got this affirmation or I got this feeling in my tummy? Like, was there please tell me.
I do. I was 19 years old. I was 19 years old, and my best friend died of cancer. Mm. And it was something that I think many of us will share as an experience, whether you have already or you will in the future. But to me, I was at university. I was studying biomed. I was good at it, like good, really good, doing really well. But him dying kind of threw me into like thinking about life and what, like, do I want to work in a lab? Am I meant to be in a lab? Am I meant to do this? Do I really, truly enjoy it? Or am I just subscribing to something that I feel like I should do? Because I am someone that pits myself against myself, and I want to achieve, and I want to, you know, hit goals that I set myself. So it was this internal battle of, like, do I continue? Have I wasted all this time doing this? And then it really introduced me to the idea of the wasted time fallacy, which has altered my life completely, where, you know, there's this idea where if you've invested a certain amount of time into something, you must finish it or it's wasted time.
I love that.
But it's really not the case.
Correct.
You know, I identified that I had learned so much from my time studying that, and that it wasn't a waste. It's just set me on a different path. And I've kind of lived by that rule ever since, where I just go through my life and I experience things and I take what I need to take and I learn what I need to learn. I apply it to the next thing, and it's brought me where I am today. And, you know, some days I'll be working and I'll be like, oh, that kind of brings me back to like 5 years ago or 7 years ago where I had this experience. And so I do talk about that a lot, because I feel like it encourages people that maybe feel like they've wasted too much time. They're in their 30s. Like, I have three kids. I'm 32. Like, I've worked in so many different jobs and done so many different things. And, you know, life is not linear, and no, neither is the professional path that you're on. So
cheers to that. I love you for that. Tell me the couple of things that led to Dev Fellas from your perspective, like the things you were into as a kid or something that made you realize what was brewing in NFT land. If I asked you the three or four ingredients before that fateful, you know, Friday the 13th, what do you think were the watershed moments that led you to, I'm going to create this in NFT form?
The first was being introduced to NFTs in general. I saw it and was immediately, it was like a light bulb moment. Like, I know a lot of people need convincing and need to learn more. And for me, it was like, holy shit, this is like so disruptive. This is what I've been waiting for. I had been working a lot with, I ran a creative production agency prior to Dev Fellas with Syke, who is my co-founder and husband. But working in creative industries, creative work is not valued. It's always a fight. It just is what it is. And so I had come from that space. I was working a lot with social justice and community management and community organization, grassroots funding, mutual aid, all of that. And I just felt like I was fighting a losing battle. I was getting pretty disenfranchised with everything, especially in the pandemic. And then when I discovered Web3, it was like, oh my God, like, this is so different. This is so new. Like, we can build something completely new that benefits so many more people. The change can be so much bigger. What does this mean for everything? Like, it was just like an explosion, just a catalyst of like,
what was the first thing you saw that got you there? Do you remember?
The first thing I saw. Yeah, I do. It was my husband, has been in a digital art collective for many years. Because he's been an artist, a digital artist forever. And so he showed me one of his friends that I've known for a long time was minting their work. And I was like, well, what does that mean? And he's like, well, this is what it means. And show me the whole thing. And like, I was like, well, what happens with royalties? What happens with ownership? Like, it was just that, like, that was it. I was like, oh my God. And then where could that go? Immediately I was like, well, artwork, but then education and real estate and like what else can happen? And so I just, I threw myself into it. Then I became aware of the profile picture thing, that movement. And I was so fascinated, and I always have been fascinated with identity and sense of self and how people find that within certain places and especially with the internet, right? So like within Web 2, Web and Web 1, how that has transcended and how digital identity and community has formed around those ideas. I was like blown away again.
For the people that are listening, because I know some people in this audience have less context to the term, how do you define in layman's terms digital identity? Go a little bit into that, because I think people will enjoy that.
So identity in itself, digital identity I see as just an extension of actual physical identity, like how you present yourself to the world, how you communicate who you are, what you love, how you feel, what you stand for, all of those things. And I think that the things that we curate around our life are extensions and tools of extending that message, right? So like, I'm wearing this shirt, it's an intentional choice. I like this shirt, but I'm also sending a message about who I am, what I like, all of those things. Digital identity is just an extension of that. And we're living increasingly more in digital spaces. And so it's an important tool, I guess, to have an impact in the world, to form communities and to send out messages and all of that.
So, no different than wearing a Clash t-shirt in 1979 in London, walking around. You were saying to other people, hey, I'm into this shit. And literally somebody on the tube could be like, yo, yo, and you know, next thing you know, best friend, married, acquaintance, wherever it may go, this has been going on forever. As we spend more time digitally, same thing.
That's it. It's social signaling.
That's
in
right.
In any context.
That's right.
And so I was seeing that happen with these profile pictures, and I was like, well, shit, that's amazing. But I couldn't engage myself because I didn't feel like anything represented me. I didn't feel aligned with anything that I saw.
And what was this? Was this like May, June, July of that year?
It was like April, May.
So you're looking around and you're like, all right, not that. You're like, all right, Gary's fucking little doodles, fuck that. Like you're looking around and you're like, you're looking for something for you. I don't see anything. Let me make something that represents what I'm feeling in my soul.
That's it.
I love
That's
it.
Exactly it.
I love
and
it.
I was like, there is nothing that represents a spectrum of gender. There's nothing that represents a different side of culture. Nothing feels like punk enough. Sorry, CryptoPunks, but you know
yeah,
what I mean?
It? Yeah, no, CryptoPunks were, to your point, very basic in their nature. When I think about that, Bella's like, you want, you know, now understanding your background, definitely not punk enough for you with a dad like that.
No, and you know what, though, to just segue slightly,
please.
CryptoPunks played a really pivotal role in Psych and I entering the space in a way that they facilitated so many connections, so many people in the OG punk community. You know, gave us our first opportunities or introduced us to the next people. One punk, the last punk, 9999, she was one of our devs on launch and she still will order contracts for us. Like,
I love that.
Yeah. And
That community, I mean, to me, it's been the only project that I feel like I can go to sleep and know for fact that in 40 years, when I'm an older man and talking about this, that will definitely be there. Is punks because of history, and then why I want you on the show. Everything else I do now is who do I think are the human toward the forces that punks will play on history and what it meant.
Yeah.
The 5 to 15 that are most meaningful 40 years from now, whether they're artists like X Copy and Beeple and many others, Amber Victoria and those people, or projects like yours and mine will completely be based on the human's ability to navigate the waters over the next 40 years. But to your point, I even just listening to you talk about it, I know what it meant to me, just even listening to them talk in Discord and like, and you know, especially the people that were actually there in 17 and 18 and 19, it's really kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, it really felt like when I entered the space, like I didn't really have a space for me. I didn't feel like there was anything that I could buy into where I felt like I belonged. And so I would go to Twitter spaces and I would join conversations with people that I thought, you know, would welcome me. And they did. And so I would encourage anyone listening that wants to engage, just engage. Like there is a space for you.
Always.
But punks were just, back then I saw them as stewards of the space, you know, proponents of knowledge and of all of it. I'm not sure it's the exact same now, like things change.
Of course
but, like,
not.
The OG ones for sure. It was great. So I went along that journey and injected everything that we love into Dead Fellas. I wanted people to feel nostalgic and have an emotional reaction, an emotional connection. I wanted all of the traits that we had to be gender ambiguous so that during the generative process, you know, you could go to the collection and you could find anything. Anything had the possibility to be you, you know,
nice.
Like no matter who you were.
Yeah.
And it's worked really well. And
How'd you name it?
How did I name it?
Yeah.
I wish I had a better answer for this, but it literally the whole thing came as just a lightning bolt in my brain. And I have these moments constantly, all day, every day. And I'm one of those people that, you know, just constantly buy URLs. And I'm like, it's hard to contain ideas sometimes. And, you know, you have to discern what idea is worth.
So you're looking around April, May, I don't see anything that speaks to me. I'm going to make something because I'm capable of it. And then during that window, a name like that comes to your mind. You go do what I do because I'm very similar. You go to whatever registry site you go to. You see that it's available. Maybe it wasn't available with the S. You do it with the Z, right? And you just kind of register it.
Yeah. What happened was we did all that. I had I knew I wanted to do something. And so it took me, it was about a week, 2 weeks. And when I'm trying to think of an idea, I don't force ideas. I just do my typical thing and I'll like let them come.
Yep.
So I was doing things that I like to do. I was listening to music I like to listen to. I was watching movies I like. And the idea of like spooky kind of macabre things and societal fascination with that has traveled through time, right? So there's like Grimm's fairy tales, R.L. Stein's Goosebumps books.
Yep.
Like it goes through. Everyone loves it. Everyone loves to be a little bit spooked.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. Zombies, since that was brought into pop culture, has just been a thread that is constant. It's just a constant. It's a classic, like, you know, part of that whole thing. And so that when as soon as I locked onto that, it was like, boom, done. I've got the idea. Transparently, I did not register the domain right away because I didn't have enough money. So I had to...
Why? Because it was for sale? It wasn't like $20? It was already taken?
No, it was already taken. Because there was a lot of things I wanted to get it all at once. So I wasn't signaling.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep. You didn't want to show your hand.
Not want to show my hand. So I was like, okay, I'm going to be careful about this. So I was going to a barbecue with my friends that day. And I just like took my friends to the side and I'm like, hey, I just need like $500. This is going to sound insane. But I can... And tried to explain the whole thing. And he was like, look, I have no idea what you're talking about, but yeah, sure, do it.
That's
and
sweet.
Then he was like blown the fuck away.
Once it all became what it became,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, but yeah.
How long did it take you to kind of from start, you know, pen to paper, quote unquote, to like when you had your minting day?
I'm going to say it was a couple of months of solid hard work. So, again, we were running an agency, so
right.
We had a lot of...
You had clients.
So many. And we were trying to do a lot of the work ourselves because pandemic times and housing crisis times and all of that in Australia. We were also in lockdown with 3 kids. So it was just really...
Jesus, it was chaotic.
It was disgusting chaos. Like, it was absolutely...
So that means there was a lot of 9 p.m. to 2 in the morning.
Oh no, it was, I would 6 a.m. because 3 kids and one of them was 1 at the time. So 6 a.m. every day I would get up, we would start immediately and then we would work all the way until about 2 a.m. and then get up again at 6 a.m. And that was like every single day. So he would be working, I would be doing treats with him, I would be on Discord, on Twitter, on Twitter Spaces, like going hard every single day.
Betty, did you, given that you'd been around, you know, kind of, the creative field, getting a sense for you, knowing a little bit about you through other people's eyes that I respect. Did you have a similar thing that I had when I was going through it with Be Friends? Did you kind of know it was gonna work?
I knew it was gonna work before I even launched it.
Yep.
And I still know exactly where I'm going. And it's like, it sounds, honestly, especially this is coming from a woman's voice, it sounds conceited and initially when I would communicate that, it's not received in the same way. Like confidence from a woman is received very differently.
Only by insecure and unthoughtful.
Absolutely. It doesn't make it any less annoying to receive.
Well, you know, if to value someone's opinion who would take it differently from you than me would be the mistake that you're making in that scenario.
That's exactly it. And so I have to, my experience in this space, I'm very well aware is different. And that is navigating everything from conferences to literally everything. Because I know this because the founders that I speak to, and I speak to founders all day, every day, are primarily men. And so the comparison of experience is there every single day. However, I am built for this, and so it doesn't faze me at all.
Good.
It just is what it is, and I feel like...
Honestly, Betty, that is anybody who's coming to you with energy that is completely predicated on them looking at you differently from because of a gender situation is just such a dramatically bigger indicator on them than you.
Hmm.
Like, look, I'll tell you how I say that as a male. It's because I'm 47 and I got really lucky with a singular life experience that is now different. And we touched on it earlier.
Yeah.
My entire life from 14 to 30, I was judged because I was an F student. When I tell you nobody on earth, besides my mother, hence why I talked about what I talked about earlier, all of them thought I had teachers. Mrs. Stats, if you're out there, I still remember this, and I don't call out your name as a negative because you were actually the sweetest lady. She said from a place of love to me, she said, "You're gonna be a garbage man." She wasn't trying to be mean to me. She was trying to tell me that you need to try at this because if you don't, your life will be ruined. Mm. And it was unbelievable in America in the 80s and 90s how much your grades were a complete indicator to how people interacted with you.
Yeah, it really was the same in the UK growing up. And then in Australia, the school system was so horrific that it's not even worth mentioning.
Anyway, nonetheless, I know we're getting on a tangent. Let me ask you this, because I don't want to run out of time. A lot of people who are listening are very aware that like there was the craziness that you and I lived through of the pricing last year. Obviously, there's been a heavy recorrection. I'm sure you have plenty of people, both your partners in business, your friends and acquaintances, everybody around you. When somebody says, well, what now with NFTs? Like I listened very carefully how you positioned it. You know that that's how I think about VFriends too. These toys and licensing and cartoons and movies. But when your most cynical friends who adore you, let me say this sentence carefully. Cynical friends who adore you say to you like, was it a fad? What now? Are you okay? You know, are you okay? Are you gonna make it? How do you answer the current energy of this little moment we're in this forever game of the NFT technology infrastructure?
Yeah, it's something that I talk about a lot because I do get the are you okay messages, especially my parents are like, are you going to be okay? I'm going to be so fine. What has happened is we are in this weird situation where we're building something so structurally sound on like in a ball pit, in one of those kids' ball pits where it's like it just shifts all the time. The bed of cryptocurrency is wild. We know this. Anyone that's like been trading for years knows this. It's up and down, up and down. You can't conflate the value of culture that's being born around a brand and around, you know, the people that are engaging with that with the value of a turbulent currency. It's
just, correct.
It's a facet of it for sure. Because it was, of course. You know, it's been, but we're utilizing blockchain technology. We're not,
correct.
We're not focusing our developments on the movement of the currency.
Well, it's you know, what I tell a lot of people is you think all NFTs are Beanie Babies. You don't realize that it's stuffed animals. It's a forever thing. Of course, there's Beanie Babies within stuffed animals, but people see one project go from this to that, or to your point, Ethereum from this to this, and they don't understand that there's a, when you and I think NFT, we think the whole macro thing. Stuffed animals. When people that haven't dug in yet think about it, they think Beanie Babies. Like, it's a fad. No, there's fads within it, but like 99% of video games don't end up becoming Super Mario either.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I get it. Before we run out of time, because we're kind of quote unquote at time because I'm getting pushed here in my day-to-day job, what did we not touch about, comma, I really want a lot of the audience, both the VFriends and the Vayner people, to get to know you and your projects and your creativity and the positive light you're bringing to the space. Where can people find you? What did we not touch on in this short period of time together that you do want this mass audience to know about?
Okay, so you can find me on Twitter. I'm Betty_NFT. I'm on Instagram, Betty.DFC. I'm just Deadfellas is the brand on everything, deadfellas.io. You can go to the website and there is like news, press, podcast, whatever. There's so much to learn from there. You can get to, I've spoken for many hours.
Indeed.
I think that just Deadfellas in general, we are proponents of culture and of social change, and we are disruptors by nature. So we will challenge structures and systems and have fun doing it, building culture and empowering people to create content using our IP.
I love that. Betty, I continue to root for you very heavily. I was really looking forward to this. If I could ever be a help to you offline, please ping me.
Thank you so much.
Continued health and success and all that.
Thank you. Right back at you.
Cheers.